welcome all of you. The delay obvious is that the chair of the portfolio committee is taking some smaller problems. He'll be joining us soon. We have to start with our meeting this morning. Let me first confirm the documents that are before. We all know that we're meeting with the Ngeni Water Board and then Mr. Tundi Water Board today. Part of our meeting will be to look at the issues that we expect that the department come back to us in this portfolio committee today. Issues of with regard to that is owned by Department of Water Board. A copy has been made available, has been circulated to the fans in your pack. And therefore, as we deal with these issues, I think we'll be able to refer to the one pager. We have the following apologies. We have an apology from Honorable Zono. Deputy Minister Treasurer is not here due to a government work and is deployed somewhere overseas in New York. And then, therefore, before us, we have Mr. Kamekunu's apology before us that will not be able to attend the meeting. I've just received one apology telephonically from Honorable Nguni, but he's still on his way. He's stuck somewhere. He's in the car. He's using an old car. So he's stuck in the toilet. So on that note, colleagues, we can just go straight to welcome the department, the minister Nguni, the director general of the director general of the department. The floor is yours now, but you are here. You can then take us through the two items that are before us today. So on that note, can we therefore proceed with the engagement? And we can then do introduction of everybody who is here.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, and good morning, colleagues from the Water Board. Honorable Chair, we have here the chairperson of the Ngeni Water Board who's leading the team to she's available here. And we have also the I met with the board chairperson and the on Friday, and they inducted me a great deal, and I was very happy with the outcome. I had some learning, and I realized that the issues that the committee has been concerned about are real. Apart from maybe a couple of things within the give me the date to put out with regard to the legitimacy of the board, so that we don't really subject ourselves to that today, but rather give me a responsibility and the time to which I put it out to cover it to the committee within 30 days. I'm really requesting that and that would have impact on the this was open gain, would have impact on the contract because of the ongoing discussions. But I'm proposing that we deal with interest on this as supported into that and therefore with regard to gain, we just get to be rather than the government issues, and within the government issues, we may deal with the administrative issues. That's my request. Thank you very much.
good morning. We've just heard of the report by the minister on the situation of India. I take that as to be something that is welcome on that number.
Can I just get clarity on Teddy being coming tomorrow? Should we then not also wait for the minister to rectify that board before they come back before the portfolio committee? Chairperson, the minister requested that the Ngeni Water Board should not make a presentation today. Am I correct? Yeah. So I'm asking, Teddy being is coming back tomorrow. It's got the same problem. We want to verify whether that board is legitimate or not, whether they should come back tomorrow and whether we should not stop them to come and wait for the minister to verify and then bring them back.
You want to comment on that, Minister? we did agree last week that we should have Citibank before us tomorrow, given the fact that the similarities of the situation today, if you want to make some comments.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll be happy with that as well, Chair. We have agreed with the Chair that we need to have a meeting with the court so that we can deal with the law. But when we looked at the law, we agree with the concern of the committee that we need to have a look at that. So I would be very pleased with the conclusion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Councillor Okomo, sorry.
Okay, listen, just to follow on with the DG, then the acting DG just informed the board. Can we ask and request the acting DG to inform them immediately so that we don't get them flying in tomorrow and then it's costing unnecessary money?
Thanks for that. That's a straightforward one. If there is any further comment, then we shall have to Mr. Shankin, see your hand, sir.
No, thank you very much. I fully agree with the, and I support the point made by Honourable Bosson that
you know, support the minister on the issue of the Umgene together with Sidibe for tomorrow. Part of their responsibility chair is to table and tell. And there's a deadline, therefore, that they are required to be adhered to. The point I'm making is that as we ask the minister to come back within 30 days, we may want to deal with the legality of the tabling of tariffs, which the deadline is supposed to be the 15th. What I'm going to propose, Chair, is that we can then allow either via the Director General of the Department to request the tabling of tariffs so that by formally they it will depend on the status of your moving forward, of determination of those services and all of that, as we move forward. But just to have them tabled is very important again. But that can be done maybe via the Director General, I'm not sure, because dealing with an entity that is accountable, definitely to Parliament with regards to its annual report, but on the day-to-day operation, the Department is accountable to the Department. On the issue of tariffs, you may want to request them, Chair, that they sort of came without a discussion of yet. A discussion can then be assumed to start when we now deal with the issues that the minister will come back and deal with that. So that formally, as much as they table the annual report check, the issues of tariffs can still come to the portfolio committee and can deal with such matters as we interact with the minister moving forward with the status of the accounting authority.
thanks for that. I wanted to ask to Minister TC, I wanted us to separate the issues with regards to the tariff. And perhaps we take a different discussion. We obviously are still having some challenges when it comes to tariffs, especially looking at the type of both of initiation of that process and also at a stage where in effect on those tariffs come to play. You might wish to take us through that so that we have one composite a comprehensive discussion on that on those terms. But as far as the issues for the day are concerned, yes, they do incorporate the tabling of tariffs by the respective water board. However, your DDG for regulation might just have to do one comprehensive set of tabling, if you like. I see, Minister, you have a few other water boards that are here. Perhaps they are here at your behest.
Honorable Chair, it may be that what you're referring is to other boards being here. It might be one of the reasons why we requested that we not discuss the government issues, particularly with regard to engage, because the composition of the board is cutting different members from various, I think, four boards, of course, which are what you might refer to.
I understand now, I understand. The fact that you have an interim board that also pulls together certain of these other. No, that's fine. I think we should then move and deal with the touchwood. Maybe just before we do that, let us take a quick one, Minister PG and the DG for regulation on the tariff. Let us just take a quick 5 minutes so that we conclude on that one. This is a very important matter that still is how crisis of water are going to be handled going forward. This is an annual process wherein your respective water boards do look and come to a certain determination on tariffs. We still have to go through this process until a certain point in time with the pulling together of these water boards and also best practices out there. They do tell of a different story wherein there is one set of tariff settings along, if you like, the lines of your ESCOM and NERSA. But as far as water is concerned, you have all these different water boards setting their own respective tariffs. At times, some of these areas are quite close to each other, but the tariffs proposed are different for the respective water boards. And we start raise a number of questions from time to time. Okay, if you have any comments to make just on the tariff, Minister DG for regulation.
Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members, Minister. We welcome the opportunity to present the tariff because the process did start and we are at the stage where we are ready to present the tariff. So if you allow us to present the tariff, I will invite the CEO of Ungin Water Board to take us through the process without going through the presentation, but take us through the process up to where we are in terms of the tariff.
What I am saying is that the tabling of the tariff without necessarily having to be confined to Ngeni per se, we have one set of discussion that pulls all of these tariff structures from all the respective water boards. If I understand, that's the whole. I guess this talk to us pulling one session different from what we have now, so that if we have one set of discussion, tabling of those tariffs, so that we don't mix what we have been having as of now. Our water boards that present or rather table their respective reports on their performance. That also includes the finances, but at the end, we have been having the water board tabling their tariffs. But what we want to do, we want to have a dedicated session that deals with tariffs across the board. If you know, also part of what you might wish to do is to give us also that whole entire tariff cycle. At what point in time do we come in? At what point in time do those tariffs get legitimized for implementation, if you like? So that's a discussion we have been having. The unfortunate part is that it has been, if you like, leading us as Parliament. Literally coming almost at the tail end of that entire process. So that's what we have been experiencing. We would wish to meaningfully participate in that whole process. Are we okay with that? I understand. Mr.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think you're correct, Chair. What we should do maybe would be to request the department to give us a presentation on the process, but we'll then have to get deeper into the politics of a tariff determination within the law, regulations and all that. we may not want to dilute it maybe now here. What I'm proposing we do would be to ask the department to prepare a brief, now that we don't have, we still have a little bit of time today. Ungen is no longer present in chair. We can then maybe give them time after the presentation of Mr. Cruz. We can just have a some kind of a framework. But that framework would then inform us of the discussion that we want to engage in chair. With the department having developed an interest as a committee wanting to know how this process is being followed. So my proposal is that we can ask them to prepare something that they can share with us after the presentation of Mr. Cruz. After that presentation, we can then deal with the way forward. What is it that we can then do to do with this doctor?
Are we fine with that understanding? Clearly, what it does, what it tells us in a nutshell is that the department will go away, prepare and table those tariffs that encapsulate all of those respective water boards. And then we'll have a set time for that specific discussion. We find that. Okay, thanks, Minister Chatterjee.
Good morning, Chatterjee, honorable members, minister, and the board members of the and the independent of the committee of Mtlatshuze. My name, Chatterjee, is to present the annual report for Mtlatshuze for 2016-17 financial year, as well as make a statement on what AG has found our institution to be like when they were performing an audit function. Just as an overview, Chairperson and honorable members, in Mtlatshuze Water, we regard ourselves as one of the leading entities that provides water services in the northern KwaZulu-Natal, and definitely not limping. And we will allude to this when we deal with our financial statements. Our operation extends to the entire KwaZulu-Natal province, as the jurisdiction was since changed by the minister. We have a peculiar situation where we supply raw water, clarified water and potable water to both the municipality as well as the industry in the northern KwaZulu-Natal. We also operate one of the biggest offshore affluent disposal systems in the country. We implement a wastewater infrastructure project on behalf of government departments, and we provide operations and maintenance for wastewater as well as bulk infrastructure for municipalities as well as the industry in the northern areas of the province. We also operate successfully and maintain the Utugela Hudetro Interbasin Transfer Scheme on behalf of the Department of Water and Sanitation. Without me, Chair, repeating myself, because the mission, the vision remain the same and has not been changed even in the previous reports that you interacted with alluded to the same, and I will just, in the interest of time, move from that. We have set strategic objectives and four of them, which talk to the provision of water, which talk to the long-term financial sustainability, as well as the optimum business processes and the system in the organization, as well as the human capital management. Those are the four areas that we are looking at as we continue to implement our business processes as an organization, with a particular focus to the outcomes, particularly to the end users and beneficiaries of the services that we provide. In terms of our Section 29 intervention, Chair, the institution does not only solely exist to implement directives of the department. It's an independent institution that continues to provide the clarified and potable and raw water to the city of Mtlatshuze, to Mondi, Fosco, Tronos, RPM South 2032, as well as that all these institutions were signed on the offtake agreement with the now Richards Bay IGZ, we've been able to sign two offtake agreements with the two industries that are establishing in Richards Bay next financial year. And those offtake agreements demand 40,000 megaliters per day for the business to thrive in that area. So it is a self-sufficient institution that continues to operate. Moving ahead, Chair, to deal with the Section 30 interventions again on what we are doing. As I indicated, we are operating all the plants for the city of Pretoria, not just the water, bulk water purification plants, but also wastewater. We also operate for the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Hoedeproof scheme. We have a list of interventions that were submitted to us by the department for implementation at the institution. Those, amongst others, include the Nongo Mawakulu Sea Water Supply Scheme, the Royal Household Water Supply, which is the cutting of water and provision of water to His Majesty the King, Newcastle Emergency Intervention, Jozini Regional Water Scheme, Mkanya with the wastewater treatment works and refurbishment, as well as Warn Leaks, which was submitted to us as a directive this financial year. However, to underscore, Chairperson, that the last one, which is the war on leaks, we have not moved on this intervention because there is no budget. We just received a directive that was not followed by the budget. Yet with the others, there was money that followed the directive and were able to implement. I can go on record, Chair, to say not a cent has been spent to date on the war on leaks program, directed by DWS, because that money has not been secured, and we can't invest our money when we have not received the confirmation of the financial flow as it was. Like Cape Town is, or rather the Western Cape province, is confronted by drought. KwaZulu-Natal was equally confronted by drought over the past 3 years, and as the province, we had to put in place mitigation strategies to cope, to live with the drought, to recover from the drought situation, as well as to continue to supply water in the respective end users. And Kratulo Water was appointed by provincial government to facilitate a range of interventions to deal with the drought situation in the province. As it stands, Chairperson, I'm happy that the entire province has moved from the red scenario in terms of the drought into amber, meaning we still cautiously would want to use a water as a national resource sparingly so that we do not go back to the red. And one of the contributors, not only Mr. Chu the water, but also Mgeni, was managing the chunk of the intervention by the provincial government to deal with drought mitigation strategies. So we dealt with those on behalf of the provincial government successfully. We also implemented the regional bulk water scheme in Chozini, where in a 40 megaliter per day water treatment works was implemented for 1.1 billion rand successfully and was commissioned in August last year. Chair, it's moving ahead to governance issues. It's already information that is at the public disposal that the minister, following the judgment by Justice Mbata, in November last year, and subsequently December, with the ancillary order that was given in this regard, the minister dissolved the board of Infrastructure Water on the 26th of April 2017 and appointed myself as the accounting authority until the new board has been put in place, of which this process is being carefully managed by the Department of Water and Sanitation. I think the minister did allude to the fact that this 30 days grace period requested for the Umgeni issue has got a knock-on effect on how this matter of the board and the constitution thereof will be dealt, how it will be dealt by the department moving forward. Given that as an accounting authority, if really not looking carefully on the performance issues, there is a thin line into becoming a referee and a player if you are an accounting officer and an accounting authority. I then approached the minister and requested the appointment of an independent audit and risk committee, of which that was approved, and the independent audit and risk committee was appointed, and the members in this regard are behind me, who are serving as the sounding board to the decisions both at the performance level, at the financial management level, as well as the governance issues in the institution, as the department prescribes that the independent audit must submit or table their independent report in as far as the status of the institution, both from a governance, from financial management, from fiscal management, as well as just playing or performing an oversight function. The disestablishment process, Chairperson, as it's noted, there was a gazette in November last year wherein the minister tabled an intention to disestablish Mr. Tulze, move its assets and staff to be incorporated into Umgeni Water, and the formation of one of the KwaZulu Natal Water Board, and rebranding of Umgeni Water into the KwaZulu Natal Water Board. That process is underway, and we are participating in the steering committee that is beginning to deal with that matter moving forward. Safe to say, the intention itself was an intention, not a foregone, and the due diligence processes are currently underway and being managed in this regard. Moving ahead, Chairperson, the performance highlights of the institution. For the period ending 30 June 2017, out of the 100% targets that were set, Mr. Water was able to achieve 65% of the set target, with 35 targets not achieved. And I'll get into the details in as far as which targets were achieved and which ones were not and which ones were overachieved in that way. The majority of these targets for the 2016 financial year were achieved, and out of the 37 targets which were planned, 24 were achieved, which accounts for 65% of the planned targets. However, Mr. Tulze Water has exceeded in the performance. Out of the 24 achieved targets, 12 were exceeded from the performance point of view. And only 13, which constitutes 35% of these targets, which were not achieved. Now, if we turn our attention to the respective targets, particularly those that were not achieved, say, in the interest of time, because those that were achieved were recorded as achieved, and they are achieved. But those that have not been achieved, there's a variance report in terms of why they have not been achieved and what is being done in that regard. Targets 1 to 3, these were achieved. However, the fourth target was not achieved, as the actual spend, the target was to spend 57% of our expenditure. We only achieved 52% in terms of our spend. Because of the institutional recovery issues, we now tend to be very cautious around chasing expenditure, but we want to chase reasonable expenditure to both our CAPEX and operational budget. That it's not just about spending the money, it's about what those monies are being spent on to give credibility to the process that we're managing to ensure that our expenditure is in place. However, what was the major contributor in terms of our low percentage spend was, as I indicated, Chairperson, that we support mainly the industry in the northern areas of KwaZulu-Natal. So one of the biggest customers which pays us extremely well is Mondi. And the two reservoirs which were built as part of the augmentation infrastructure in our assets could not come online because the connection could not be done, because the connection had to be linked to the shutdown, planned maintenance shutdown by Mondi, which only that shutdown is planned annually. And in as far as this shutdown was concerned, a communique was sent to my office, and it only happened last weekend. And we have successfully now connected the two reservoirs to augment the water capacity into Mondi. And we could not do otherwise because the disruption in the industry business would have necessitated that we pay penalties because of the loss of income by the clients that were supporting. Now they had planned their own annual shutdown, which they did in over the weekend, and were able to complete this particular target, as it were. One, moving ahead to financial performance, Chairperson and the honorable members, we are the target of receiving an unqualified audit opinion. And that target has not been achieved. And I'll get to the details in terms of what has led into AG, I'm having my colleague from AG out here, what has led into the qualified opinion from Cattle the Water. And in the main chair, if I could just get to it so that we rush through it when we get to the later stage of the presentation. There are basically three things which led into Mikatuze receiving a qualified audit opinion. You would have noted, Chairperson, that over the past 6 years, Mikatuze Water has been audited by KPMG, an independent auditor. It was only for the financial year 16-17 that AG came on board to audit Mikatuze Water. Notwithstanding the issues of audit scripts, audit standards, and so forth, which I do not really want to get to, but there are three things that made AG conclude and offer the qualified audit opinion. One, it was on the plant property and equipment, which is PPE, that the balance sheet was not reflecting the true value of the assets, particularly those that were acquired over a period of years at one rand value. So the true value of such assets was not reflected because it has got an impact in how you present your financials, considering the asset value that you have in your asset register. The second one is an issue here that, if you really wish to be technical about it, would be in the first place, the clean bill of health by KPMG would have been really questioned, in a sense that graph 17 prescribes that on an annual, over 5 years, you've got a strategic infrastructure improvement plan and management plan. Out of it, you do the assessment of the true value of your assets as part of the financial standards and accounting standards in graph 17, which in Mkatuze, it was not done over the period under review and subsequent periods before. And it had to be then done as part of the audit process. And this process has since been concluded. And as AG has written back to the accounting officer requesting that they will be coming for the preliminary audit in the new financial year, we are happy to say we are ready for AG to come and test and look at our asset register, to look at our asset order book and the calculations that have been made in terms of the true value of the assets as they described, that it was incongruent to what Graph 17 was describing. The second issue which led into a qualification deficit was the previous year commitments, which were irregular in nature, but were still honored in the period under review, meaning under audit, 2016-17. What do I mean in simple terms? If the contract was entered into 3 years ago, which was a five-year contract, and that contract itself from inception was irregular, any spend on that contract, even in the current financial year, that spend is irregular because that process itself has not been regularized, has not been condoned, or even sent for condonation, as it were. So any transaction that emerges out of that becomes irregular, as it were. The third one, AG requested us, because they were auditing Mkatuze for the first time, they requested as part of their assurance standards that we must go back in the previous years that have been audited even by KPMG, for them to have a level of assurance and certainty that indeed in the organization things are as we say they are. So in the process of us going back to the expenditure for the past 5 years, as Mkatuze Water, and I need to underscore this point because it's not AG that picked up this. We picked it up ourselves as Mkatuze when we had to go back 5 years. We picked up another 98 million rand irregular expenditure, which is as a result of the flaunted SCM processes, deliberate flaunting of SCM processes which has got certain consequences which I will deal with at the later stage in terms of how, as an accounting officer, have I dealt with that irregular expenditure which borders into crime committed by the staff in such as the ward. So these are, in the main, three reasons why AG gave us a qualified opinion. It's the PPE and the calculation of true values of assets, particularly those that were acquired at one rent value, and the normal draft process that has to be followed through in terms of assessment of assets and equipment. The second one is the irregular expenditure in the financial year where they audited, which is an accrual from the previous financial year, and the contracts that were entered into previously that gave rise to expenditure in the year that they were auditing. And thirdly, the irregular expenditure that dates back over years. If you look at our annual report, you will see we reflect exactly what I'm indicating now, that 98 million rand is prior year misstatements and errors, and in the financial year 2016-17, the 20 million rand relates to expenditure that is irregular as a result of recurring commitments contractually moving forward. I hope I've covered sufficiently what the issue is, what AG is here to affirm later session. Moving ahead, Chairperson, the other issues relate to finances in terms of our gross margin, as well as the debt collection. Chair, I am happy to indicate that as it stands, the Department of Water and Sanitation owes Nhlahlubo Water only 1.4 million rand, and it is the current invoice which is being processed by the department. There is no money that was being owed by the department, even for the services that we are rendering for the department under Section 30. There is no money being owed to Nhlahlubo Water. The invoice of 1.4 million rand is the invoice I'm certain that it is payable within the 30 days where it is sitting. However, for the period under review, as you see in this presentation, we had set a target of 45 days by which we would want to collect all the owing by the debtors. We were moving towards the 60 days because mainly for one of our clients in the industry wrote to us to indicate that they've got an international challenge with regards to their business processes and how they are trading, and the decline in terms of the strength of the rand versus the dollar was pushing back their income margins. However, they were able to commit that these payments would be happening at least before the 60-day period when they collected even from their suppliers. RPM, the city of Nhlahlubo, because of the contractual issues which SCM had to correct in terms of the expired contract, this is also what led into the delays in terms of the expenditure. We're also happy to report here that the increase in the BE spent has been good in the institution. We had set a target of 50%, but from the BE spent, we're able to achieve a 70% in terms of expenditure using the previous disadvantaged companies when procuring goods and services as the organization. Chairperson, the issue of the management of costs within the approved budget, we have set a target of 5%, and this budget was not achieved. We kept it at 7%. This was due to the legal costs, as well as the staff costs, as well as the audit fee by even AG itself, because from the audit fees that we were accustomed to with KPMG, the audit fees for AG was slightly above the normal average that we had budgeted in our books, but we had to make we had to accommodate this as it were. The capital expenditure, we had put in 80% in terms of the target, but we achieved the 43%. This is mainly, as I indicated, the money pipeline, the connections that only were realized over the weekend, and therefore we kept that money unspent until we were able to connect. Now we'll be able to honor the invoices of the service providers. We're able to do what we have requested for out of them. Chair, I'm moving quickly, the one target that was not achieved was the support in terms of rural development. The target mainly here was talking about the signing of the MOUs with the respective municipalities. Chairperson, as you know, in the system of local government, we did the best we could in terms of drafting the MOUs as an institution and send them to the council. So the internal delays in terms of getting the council to resolve, to have a council resolution, to sign the agreement, and the signing of the agreement took a bit of time, and therefore there were delays in this regard. But post the audit, all these agreements have since been signed, and the delays that were encountered are no longer an issue to report. We are continuing to implement the interventions as we had planned to do. One of the targets that has not been met is around training and skills development. We set the target of having 10 learners on board as an organization, but due to the budget and financial constraints, we were only able to recruit 9, but out of the 9, 1 dropped out of the program. Hence, we're sitting with a target of 8 and not 10. One is related to inability to recruit because of the limited budget. Secondly, one learner dropped out of the program. In terms of the bursaries, we have set a target of 25, and we've exceeded this. We're sitting with 32 learners. Chair, here we are really in the main moving ahead at making sure that we've got the requisite skills to support us to drive our business, even in the future years. Skills on engineering, skills on accounting, as well as program management is what we're focusing on in terms of supporting the bursary holders, so that they're able to graduate and then come back to serve the communities where they come from in the respective areas as it were. We, from a governance point of view, Chairperson, we continue to set a target that the issue of the formation of the board continues to be a challenge, and the sooner we get through this one and have the board in place, we'll be able to deal with many of the governance issues as it were. We've also talked about issues of improved controls and risk mitigation. We've set a target of 5, and 6 was the achievement. The target was not achieved due to the breaches in materiality, as it were, as well as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that is being reported for the year under review. Chair, if I could, through your permission, request the CFO to come in to deal with the financial part of the report, and I'll come back to conclude on the other aspects of the report, which relates to PFMA, the recovery plan of the institution from an audit, because we are now destined to get a clean audit from AG because we've developed a recovery plan. But we will not get into the discussion on the tariffs, as I will take your guidance, as you have said, with Umgeni. There will be a discussion in the department, so we'll not get into the tariff issue, as it will form part of that package that will be presented by the department. With your permission, could I hand over to the acting CFO to just deal with the financial and the financial position of the organization. With your permission, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'll just take you quickly through the statement of financial performance. Due to the drought that the CE has spoken about, our sales revenue decreased. It wasn't up according to our target. Our volume decreased by about 24%. However, in terms of revenue, we are not too bad compared to last year. This is also due to our implementing agency fee on the secondary activities. We managed to have an operating surplus of 42.6 million rand, which ended up at 9.7 surplus per year. We go on to our statement of financial position. Our current asset base sits at 420 million, with our non-current assets in at 712, which is the point that the CE mentioned regarding the assurance that the Auditor General was not able to satisfy themselves with. With that, we have our liabilities sitting at 352. right? Okay. In terms of our financial analysis, our gross profit was at 35%, which was a decline from the prior period of about 2%. That is due to decreasing revenue through because of the drought that has impacted our sales in that year. Our cost of sales remained high due to the water quality that we're dealing with, and we had to use more chemicals than budgeted. Our operating surplus, as I mentioned, was 42.6 compared to 90.3 in the prior period. The prior period also included a gain on disposal of assets on the city scheme, which the Department of Water Sanitation bought back from Kapuza Water. Our current ratio has improved from the prior period, even though we were still experiencing challenges in collecting our debt book. However, we improved from the prior period. Our debt equity ratio has declined due to our financial leverage. Our long-term debt decreased from the prior period. Our interest turnover ratio increased. However, we're still in a position where we were able to pay off our interest expense more than 5 times. So that's not something that we should worry about at this particular point in time. Our debt of days has gone up to 60 days due to reasons that the CE had mentioned earlier. However, I need to report that current to date, this has improved, especially relating to the funds that are owing from the Department of Water and Sanitation. The debt on assets ratio has shown a decline due to the fact that our operating surplus has increased in the current financial year. The BE spend has increased, as Lucy has mentioned, so I won't spend a lot of time on that, but we are supporting our previously disadvantaged companies. I think I'll just take it back to the city as the next part, so I'm going to talk to Paris, and if the chairperson that discussion will be held over.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes the issues of the financials and the tariffs. We will not be getting to the last remaining slide is just giving, if we move on with the presentation. The last remaining slide talks to the AG outcomes. As I've indicated, Chair, there are three issues: the CDE, the irregular expenditure, and the reason for that. The next is it's a basket of things. Tenders which were advertised for less than 21 days, contractors which were awarded not following a competitive bid, the tenders not advertised through the CIDB for the construction process, payments made greater than the contract value, deviations not in accordance with the National Treasury conditions for approval, less than 3 quotations received. There is nothing wrong with receiving less than 3 quotations, however, the policy says they should be approved and endorsed by the accounting officer, and that did not happen. And when Treasury picked up that, they'll say it's against the policies of the institution. Just the last 2 slides, Chair, if I could beg your indulgence. We do have a fruitless expenditure for the year under review as audited by AG. And it relates to the 237,000 rand, which is the cost that was incurred for travel and conferencing facility for the delegate who did not attend the conference. As prescribed by KFMA, I had to approach the person concerned, As for the reason why the trip was not undertaken, I received a written correspondence to say I will be given a copy of the letter that was written to the minister, explaining the explanation by the then chair why she could not travel to the conference, which was already paid, and the correspondence was then filed, and the AG had a sight of it, which I sent, I dispatched rather, to the person who was seen to have transgressed in this regard, and I still await to get the copy of what the agreement between the minister and the other party concerned was, so that I can close on the issue, because part of the recovery plan alludes to this matter, which AG would want to have sight of when they return back for the preliminary audit. Also, for the 15-16 financial year period, 23.5 million rand relates to payments that were made to suppliers without approved variation orders. And the delegation of authority, Chairperson, if I may, indicates who must sign what variation order, and the amount of the variation order is delegated in terms of the delegation of authority by the institution. However, some of those were then signed not by the appropriate authorities to condone it as the correct transaction. The costs were inflated in the BOQ, as well as the payments were made to suppliers not supported and approved by the engineer's certificate, as it were. In conclusion, Chairperson, the financial overview of the institution highlighted mainly some challenges due to the drought situation in the province. However, we were able to mitigate against these, and the pressure of the financial stability in the organization has been mitigated. We operate on a surplus basis, so there is no need to conclude otherwise as an organization, because our clientele remains solid, and they support us in the venture to deal with water provision, and the new offtake agreement as projected will give us more in terms of our income, as it were. The short-term loans, which I think the CFO referred to, have since been serviced, and the commitments in that regard have reduced, and even the borrowing limit as approved by Treasury was still sitting in excess of 575 million rand untapped as borrowing limits, because we decided to downscale and only deal with strategic infrastructure that will deal with the new clients and creating new reserves to deal with those clients, as opposed to going for a fully-fledged infrastructure development program, which would not be able to derive value out of it immediately, but in a long term. The institution chair continues to do its work, and we continue to play oversight within this organization, and we will be guided by the questions that are emerging from the floor. And I want to thank you, Chairperson, Minister, and honourable members. Thank you very much.
CDG for resolution. Any other comments?
Thank you. Another chair, no comment yet. Thank you.
That is a submission by Sasuzi. Ngimbona kuyinto yonke. Okay, I take an interest, it could be semantics if you like. At times you have some of these water boards having acting CEO, and here you have Inan Karen. I take an interest in the definition of those, whether it is just semantics or there is any meaning that some of us are not aware of. It might also be of interest, having been reading some of these missions and and visions of this water board. You know, they differ here and there. Hence the question of what has been asking Minister as to what is the role of the water board? I also see here, whilst that response to that question was received from the department, saying among others, the department provides raw water. I see here in Satuzi, also that is equally one of the functions. Probably it has to do with the industries that you are dealing with here. Quite big, and the volume expected of that water supply to those industries. Could you imagine to comment on that? Any further comments? And then of course, one would have taken an interest about the Giorgini scheme. My assumption there is that this is one of your augmentation programs that the department has engaged in. Out of that Giorgini dam, which previously has only I think ascribed to one farmer, and that's a huge dam. I guess the insofar as your single purposeness of that dam, that has been the situation, of course, until recently, when that augmentation scheme was implemented by the department. Any further questions that go in Mr. Charles then?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I think what would be important to make sure as we deal with the annual report will be to deal with the authority. You know that the who's acting authority is right now the absence of the board. Do they want to get the chair who's going to have the at what point are we going to have the proper things that can go over the sea itself? But not only that, the issue of the arrangement of the football becomes quite very important now. We are now told that the team that is working on the and I'm aware at the same time that Unge has been forced to appoint the new board to make that process. And therefore, what does this mean, Chair, with regard to the issues of amalgamation and the issues of Unge having to move forward? What is the issue there? I think this point would require the department to talk to us, especially at the level of that arrangement. But Chair, I hear a lot about issues of drought. It's not just one side of the schedule, you know, not one side. I just want to have the general understanding that what has been the intervention of the support that you have received from the National Department or government in general, national, dealing with elements of drought. Because I see you in your report, you're really emphasizing the issue of drought. The CFO has spoken about how you have now spent more, especially of maybe you may want to talk to us to you know what is the driving role of the department this now Chairperson, the issues of fruitless expenditure. The approach I think is a very polite approach that I'm hearing from the accounting authority.
says that I have approached, I have written the letter. If we to follow KFMA to the latter, what does it tell us? What does it say we must do when we deal with matters of fruitless and wasteful spent? Sort of prescribe and direct us how we deal with that. By now, we hear that we've been waiting a letter from the minister. I don't know how this works in the night, but KFMA is very clear of how we deal with this of fruitless and wasteful spent. But my point here is that the general internal controls are very weak. They are identified by the AG. If you go into the body of the report, you then check out that the AG raises a number of things. Starting with risk, he raises the concerns. He starts with the internal audit control, he raises an issue there. This is what leads generally to the problems that we have of not following, you know, supply chain management system in place. So you need to talk to us about what interventions are you doing there to strengthen your supply chain within the system. Because if you are general, you know, internal systems that collapse, this is what you're going to be dealing with without then really going into your regular expenditure now and the celebration for condolence. I'm saying the celebration for condonement, that we are happy that we now, you know, condone that thing. But you need to have an investigation. You need to investigate and you need to tell those reports to the committee of parliament to say that this is the regular expenditure, this what we have done, we have identified, we have investigated it. Because again, we are instructed by PSMA what it is that we must do. This is the regular expenditure. Before we can even celebrate condonement, you need to satisfy yourself through that investigation. But at all is to recover. This is what then comes back. We need to recover the regular expenditure. And one of the reasons why you cannot recover that money. That is public money, that money must come back to the state. So you need to give us reasons through that report that you then have sort of investigated the issue. For now, Chair, these are my issues, Chair, for now, and then I will still come back again on the opportunity.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? Okay, that should be it for now. Maybe just two sort of questions which may not necessarily be directed to Mr. More ministers from the department. These have to do with policy. This is a question I did raise at some point, I can't remember which water board. Given all what is happening, pulling together of these two water boards, there is obviously in any such integration or amalgamation, call it name, you obviously have some of these casualties. People who lose jobs, you have had, for argument's sake, two CFOs, you know, two HR managers, two communication, this and that, and so on and so forth. Now, what is the policy of the department and also of the water board insofar as the restraint of trade is concerned? Today you are at work, tomorrow you are not at work. Whether you can still do business either in the water space or with the entity you are working for. And the other policy issue, granted now we have the AG's office started doing the audit work. I hear in touch with the talking of 6 years that you shall have had with the KPMG last week. There was another entity that had about 9 years being audited by one firm. Now, what is the policy? As I say, we now have the AG's office. the question should have been, especially dealing with the private sector, whether you can be able, you know, successfully or rather continuously having to have one audit firm for a period of 6 years or 9 years. Yes, the situation, as I said, it is different now that we have the AG's office being. If there is any comment on that, the last part, the department is owing this water board. You have mentioned R1.5 million that is owing to you as the water board. We've actually asked this question before from the department, especially dealing with your accrual. Where will this money come from to pay, whether it is the service provider or it is your water board? we have been engaging on this question, Minister, at this point to the department. And frankly speaking, we did not get much joy. Simply because we would have been given three different types of answers. And they all have to do with sourcing money from any of the grants. Other grants are conditional, other grants are unconditional. And we did indicate to the department that there is going to be a sort of challenge for the department to enter into new projects. As a result, we have indicated if we look at our budget review recommendation report, a number of those projects have literally stopped. We wish to ask a question better that talks about the ability of the department to be able to pay what is due to now talking about the water board. Okay.
Chairperson, could I just add on? I thought maybe we would discuss this later, but well, you've mentioned it. Chairperson, I'm also concerned that last year the unpaid invoices, Minister, was $1.5 billion. Now, Chairperson, now we receive a document from the Minister that says the total for boards and the water trading entity, or for TCTA, sorry, is $3.4 billion. That excludes invoices where the department directly contracts with outside people. Now, if this is an indication that just on the boards and TCTA is $3.4 billion, and we still don't know what the outstanding amount is owed by the department to other contractors, excluding boards and TCTA. See, this will eat up the whole infrastructure budget. And what we just said last year, Chairperson, it's now happening this year. Is that if you don't stop it, it will have a knock-on effect. And now we see it, Minister, that we most probably it will be another $1.5 billion. That I don't know. I don't hope so. But the fact is this department, you can't pay the accruals in the financial year. It should. Now, it will come out of next year's budget. We only have a small increase in our budget. And then we've got to cater for these amounts in the new financial year. So Minister, this is long. And whilst we're on that issue, can we maybe find out as well, what is that outstanding amount in the budget that's not yet been spent, and whether they will spend all their money in this financial year? Because then it means that despite, if we look at this, and let's say it seems they don't have money left in this financial year, to pay these, otherwise they would have been paid, and you wouldn't have said in your letter that it will be paid in the 18-19 financial year, is that they don't utilize their funds for the purpose that it should be used for, and how are we going to cover the shortfall? And then lastly, I need to understand whether the amount to the Reserve Bank has been paid as agreed by the Department and National Treasury will be paid by the end of March.
Thank you, Mr. Mahalan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to check the issue of KPMG. Is still KPMG auditing the other government entities? Is KPMG is still auditing these entities? I think we need to come up with a solution or the strategy as committees in Parliament, because it's like their outcome is misleading. It's misleading the outcome of their auditing. Umhlatshize is not the first entity to say they were being audited by KNG first. But when they are to be audited by the AG, you find that they are against, and it's like they should have been collected if they were to be audited by AG even before. The issue of a board, Honorable Chairman didn't talk about it. But what I wanted to check is, it's almost a year now since April last year when the other board has been dissolved. According to the policy, how long is the entity expected to run without a board member? And what is the danger of the water board operating without board members? On the issue of irregular expenditure, the points indicated there, to me it's like those points are deliberate. I don't know, Chair, it's like somebody here find some time to think about how that person wanted to make money out of this entity. It's like he decided someone to say, I want to fraud this entity. And then he gets down. What is it that, what has been done to this person after finding out that this irregular expenditure comes because the person didn't follow up the correct ways of doing things as far as supply chain is concerned? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Simon.
Chair, I'm not going to respond to the substantive issues, but to say that, because the team will have to respond to that. Just to say that I met with the top managers on Friday, on Thursday afternoon, last week, before I met with the board. One of the major issues that they raised themselves and appreciated by the board members very strongly, that the department needs, in that ministry, needs to focus on government. They said, just listen to when they introduce themselves. They say acting. And six of the nine boards well. It was lots of acting people. So you've got that governance challenge right now, and he said the same thing, so that's Friday and Thursday. It was the same thing. And we think that is really, has been the biggest challenge.
we also have discussed the issue was raised by, particularly by the board members, the question of institution, institutional challenges in the department. It's very difficult, according to the discussion, it's very difficult to really look at the relationships, the dynamic relationships across the institutions that are there. We concluded on this case, and the matter which was raised again on Friday, but fortunately we have taken a decision. We said, do we have a consolidated veteran training system? Do we have that? We don't. And you can't therefore determine your structure. If you look at the, I think the 74 chief directors, as I tried to remember well, 74 chief directors, just on that point on its own. What's so many people like that, chief directors like that, and of course, five DDGs as well, if I'm not mistaken, I remember well. These things, they themselves, I got that information from the official. So they're saying themselves there is a serious systemic problem, which actually then gives them access. That's what the honorable was going to say. So I put together a system, fortunately led by the DDG responsible infrastructure of the technical diplomatic department. This is a modern consolidated value chain board. So that we can then, out of that, consolidate the structure of the department and the entities. Because you have entities, you can't see how they relate to one another so that you can achieve the result that you're looking at. Cost effectiveness. And also achieve the money, the value for money objective that you must take. So with all of the team that are here, those are the people we met with, those are the things that we agree. So that technical team has given me 2 weeks to look at something, just to say to me, this is what you can. I've worked my mind. That's because I was saying, if you look at the model, the ESCO model, you see, you look at that ESCO model, the generation, the transmission, and then the distribution at the end, and you look at the dynamic across, and you need to look at that, and let's see how water, you know, structures in terms of that value chain. The details, the DDG has presented the details, particularly with regards to the transition. But I want to see a more complex value chain system in terms of the generation of water, the transmission, and the delivery, or the distribution of water. And then you can actually look at it and make an evaluation that is effective rather than what we see right now, everything and everywhere. So that's where we are now, and I'm looking at that in the next 2 weeks, that we'll finalize that in the department and then present again, get the boards together, and then we'll look at that. Because they're raising all sorts of things themselves, how difficult it is to have one and the other, you know, institutional component related to the internet. That makes it very difficult, first of all, to manage. The director general is very fitting, given what I listened to, has interested in. He hears it now. I really did it in feeling I thought, you know, it must be very difficult to be director general in a situation like this. Because you're going to fail. You're going to fail as an accounting officer. Because where do you handle where? What? We have to deal with that. We're going to have this and that. That's something that we have to deal with so that we can have a proper, that's why the reporting will then have to, I think the honorable member raising this question of the reporting format. The water board itself is saying we need to have the format, you know, it's sort of a similar reporting format to the portfolio committee so that it makes sense, it speaks to the issues that the portfolio committee often wants us to speak to. So those are the things that on Thursday and Friday we sort of look at share. And I'm sure we're going to address it and answer the question that Chair, as I said, I wanted to just make that broad statement that says this is where we're going. And
fund, did you?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I stepped up for a minute to attend to some other matters, but when I walked in, there was an issue of the overdraft of the water trading entity. In terms of the agreement we had with National Treasury, the 3-year agreement to reduce the overdraft. In the first year, ending March now, we have to reduce it by 748 million. We have reduced it to with more than 748, and then now, as of yesterday, it's at 1.9 million. So we have reduced it more than 748. So obviously we have to apply a lot of controls in terms of reducing things on, that are non-core in the water trading industry. So we are optimistic that in the 3-year agreement we have initial trading, that that in the water trading industry will have been finished. I mean, we have completed in terms of making sure that we bring water trading industry into alignment. In terms of the budget, whether we spend the whole of the budget in the department, we are focusing that we will pay, the budget will be used in totality. We're waiting for the transfer of the transfer to the municipality that is going to happen in this week. That was a big chance that was still left in the budget. And at the end of February, we still had about 1.4, 1.5 billion in our budget. But the big chunk of that is going through the transfers to municipalities and other costs, are fixed costs like your employee cost, which is your salaries, as well as your cost for your accommodation and the normal services that you pay on a monthly basis. So as I stand now, we are focused. We don't foresee any underspending. We spend all the budget that we have. But obviously we report as we are about to close the financial year in terms of where it will be. But I don't foresee any understanding as it stands.
Thank you.
Are you done for all the comments and questions? Thank you, Chair Pepin. If I may, just address some of the issues that were directed to on the presentation, besides the one that already Chair was entertained by the Minister and the colleagues from the Department. Chairperson, with regard to the issue that Honourable Chauke was raising, maybe my response, Chair, will be twofold. One, we tend to investigate occurrences of irregular and fruitless expenditure. Invariably, the outcome of such investigation will pinpoint to the perpetrator. Once the pinpointing to the perpetrator has happened as the outcome of the investigation, such people are then brought to book by the organization. Particularly, where the controls are still within the ambit of the institution that they set. In an event where such transgression as a result of the investigation borders criminality, those are equally, as PFMA prescribed, are reported to the authorities dealing with matters of criminality in nature. I submitted, Chairperson and Honourable Members, Ms. Minister, in my report that some elements of irregular expenditure out of the investigation pinpoint to a mere maladministration from non-compliance with following policies to the T. It does not necessarily suggest that the value for money spent has not been derived. Value for money has been derived. However, in the process of acquiring such goods and services, there has been transgression wherein certain signatures that ought to have been sought as approval signatures in terms of the delegation of authority in terms of the MISA to the policy, there was gross transgression. In that regard, the staff members who have done so have been subjected to an internal disciplinary process as part of consequence management. Some have opted to jump the ship, others were fully subjected to a disciplinary process. Those that had left, because these matters in the main chair, I would hasten to say, they are prior year irregularities. As such, because some of these perpetrators are no longer in the employ of Mr. Tuza Water, the matter then had to be taken to the hall in KwaZulu-Natal, and they were reported as such, and investigation is currently underway. Those that have opted to leave, and they are perpetrators in as far as non-compliance, we have approached the High Court in Pietermaritzburg and asked to hold back in that their pension funds, because their actions tantamount to misusing public tax for their gain, and we've been granted such orders, and they are available. AG has applied on some of these as part of my corrective action in the institution. I am happy to attest, as part of what Honorable Chauke has submitted, I am happy through the Minister's office to submit to you the UMSA-TUZO audit improvement plan for your further satisfaction on all aspects that were raised by AG to be irregular in the affairs of UMSA-TUZO that needed to be corrected as part of the audit improvement plan. I'm happy to table those before you, together with the investigation report, which I used as a basis to go and open the cases against the individuals or perpetrators who have done wrong in as far as this fruitless expenditure and some elements of irregular expenditure which has been seen to be fraudulent in nature. We have those reports handy and you could submit those and make them available. The only plea that I would have, Chairperson, with your permission, hence I'm requesting to go to the in-committee session of this portfolio committee, because some of those matters now are sub judice because they are now being investigated by the Hawk. And the information itself, because of the nature of that investigation, would need to be handled with a bit of sensitivity so that I don't kill my case before we even realize prosecution for some individuals in this regard. The second issue, Honorable Chauke, you are very correct, Honorable Chauke. We have not just simply ended by a letter to the transgressor requesting the explanation. I have equally suggested that we would like this money to be paid back to the institution, because the only time that you can qualify that fruitless expenditure as a matter that you would put as an irregular or you would condone it is when there's been satisfactory reason why certain things were not done. In the absence of that, I had to move on to demand that these monies must be paid back, and it forms part of the package that is going to come because it sits as part of the basket anyway, because this money was spent and Mr. Tuzo Water derived no value out of this money and it had to be reported. The other issue that was raised by the Honourable Board Member is very correct. We had a very longish discussion with AG on this matter of the audit standards, KPMG, Honourable Member.
Sorry.
Honorable Makaban.
When you work too much in this board, you end up everything is bought. And it's really an innocent mistake, Honorable Makaban. My apologies for promoting you. The issue for me, Chair, was that it's very true that perhaps there could be a discussion, Chairperson, outside the chamber in terms of other things that one picked up as a result of what, again, Honorable Chauke raised, of the failed internal control in the organization that led into all these issues that are now perpetual in nature, which needed to be addressed, because it's an internal control environment. And if the internal control environment, as AG says, over time has collapsed, the internal auditors of the institution ought to have picked up that, whereas the external auditors ought to have pronounced on the matter and even dared not to give Mkhatum the clean bill of health because of the collapsed internal system. Therefore, why would you say the institution is performing optimally and you give the bill of health that is clean without even a matter of empathy, as it were? So for me, it does go towards the issue that there needs to be a discussion around the set of standards. I'm on record, Honorable Chauke, having written to the ministry requesting to appear before the commission that deals with the KPMG issue, particularly because I'm aggrieved by the Mkhatum the matter, from a service provision point of view, because part of the assurance standard that the AG is bringing as part of the audit is that the institution must be run credibly. There must be no holes in the manner in which we are implementing issues as an organization. It's not just a function of audit that they come to do. It's an assurance function that they are performing so that internal controls could be jacked up, could be obtained, and those in charge of the organization would know better how best to manage the organization moving forward. So this is the matter that is indeed receiving an attention from our side. But we are happy, as it stands, that AG is on board, contrary to many views that could be shared about AG, that when they come on board, they bring disability, you become unhappy about what they are doing. I personally welcome AG in Mkhatum. Their arrival at Mkhatum has opened a lot of eyes on things that ordinarily when I walked in, I could not look at because I walked into an institution with a clean audit. So things were swept under the carpet out of the clean audit. When they came in to say, go back over here, then one began to say, whoa, is this what has been happening here? Therefore, their intervention and insistence that you must go back 5 years prior to the audit has been good for us in terms of opening our eyes and making sure that we are strengthening our internal control environment in dealing with our business. The good thing that was denoted out of this qualification is that it is not necessarily scientific to achieve a clean audit, even with AG. It's about your internal control environment, it's about your transparency in your system, it's about accountability in the things that we do, which is integral to the audit improvement plan that you've put in place as a result to try and achieve the clean audit that we want to get as they come to audit in the current financial year. Chairperson, two last things that were raised. It's very true that prior to the Jozini water treatment work, Mr. Senegal up north had his own dam supplying himself and his plantation from an irrigation point of view. But due to this intervention that DWS came up with and funded, which we implemented as the implementing agency as in Massachusetts, we did manage to build the state-of-the-art water treatment works that produced 40,000 megaliters per day. However, that comes with its own challenges. Chairperson, the issue of the bulk water provision sits as part of what DWS has generally been dealing with, including the regional water scheme. But reticulation remains the function of the municipality, particularly the Water Service Authority. The case in point now, with the 40,000 megaliter water treatment work that has been built by 1.1 billion rand in Mkhanyabu, is that from an abstraction and an uptake point of view, only 15% of its capacity is being used currently. 15%. Why? Because the reticulation infrastructure does not exist. And if at all you were to deal with a secondary bulk and deal with reticulation, that scheme will optimally perform And many of the communities that are complaining about water, water up north, that issue will be the issue of the past. Now, the absorptive capacity of the water service authority that are dealing with the litigation and the capacity of the water boards and the department to provide regional bulk water, there is a mismatch between the two. The prioritization by municipalities in terms of their secondary bulk and recirculation does not match the investment that is put in dealing with the regional bulk water, and therefore this mismatch will continue to be until a special regime is pronounced that says in areas where there is an intervention, Umkhanyako falls under many interventions that have been pronounced. Your ISRTT, your rural nodes, it ticks all the boxes. However, nothing special has been done about it wherein you are putting a comprehensive plan not only to deal with the regional bulk, but you must also deal with the secondary bulk and these issues of operation and maintenance to the municipality because the services will be there. So this mismatch, Chairperson, is there, the facility is there, it's working. However, we're not realizing the true value for money that has been put on the ground. I know there could be a question that says, did you then have to spend this much money on that regional bulk water scheme? The answer is yes. Water provision and optimum water expenditure is about volume. The more volumes you abstract, the more you plan in the long term for the infrastructure, the better for your cost in building assets. However, what needed to be catered for is the secondary bulk with the responsibility from the powers and functions, as it were, sits with the water service authorities, which in this case are the district municipalities. The last submission on my part. The invoice, because the question did arise, Chairperson, the invoice that DWSO, which is the 1.4, we only tabled it to the regional office on the 15th of February. This invoice is payable on the 15th of March in the 30 days window that we normally allow for DWS to pay us. From our understanding, the budget is available because there is a confirmation from the department on the non-GOM of a policy matter, so there is no new money we are looking for. It's still sitting under those commitments that need to be met, and we would only hope that by tomorrow, by the time we get home, that money is paid because the money is available and we proceed with the implementation of our project. I will leave it at that for now, Chairperson, with the note that we are willing to make available that information that you have requested within the context. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Okay, are you done? Did you have the response? Prudent policies?
Honourable Chair, Minister, Honourable Members, DG, I will respond on the issues raised by Honourable Makgabane and Honourable Charles and touch also on the issues of policy. I think the first question was around the timeline for the new board of the Sakhuze. In our planning, we have planned to obtain a cabinet concurrence in April, and by end of May, through the minister, we plan to have the board in place. In terms of the internal nature of the board of Ngeni Water, I think the board is a board as constituted in the Act, but what is interim is the term of office. It's not a 4-year term, but the minister determines the term of that particular board. In terms of whether we have a policy as to how long it takes, we do not have a policy, but in terms of good governance, the PFMA does, in terms of Section 48, does state that there should be an accounting authority of every board all the time. And this is why we had to appoint the FCE as the accounting authority. Thank you.
Okay,
Honorable
Chair,
Minister,
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the board has just mentioned something that we've picked up now for a few years. concerning reticulation. Now, the problem that we have with COCTA is that they just really don't spend any money. Last year it was $3 billion. We've seen in Giani, the bulk infrastructure is there, there's no reticulation. And so we discussed this previously, and the minister should really discuss this with COCTA and National Treasury. I really feel that the finances that is made available for reticulation within municipalities should come to port and sanitation. So that we know what the one hand is doing while the other hand is busy with something else. We are losing a lot of money. We've seen in Giani where people just stepped into the bulk lines because there is no reticulation. So, Chairperson, really, it's a humble request to the Minister is, once again, we are harming service delivery to the people due to the fact of COCTA not coming to the party with funding. You know, Chairperson, the previous Minister took a decision last year to say, I'm no longer going to assist municipalities with their infrastructure because when it comes to the end of the financial year, I'm taking the hiring for money spent to assist on a urgently basis. And COCTA is just not coming to the party with this. It's really becoming a problem that, you know, we've got the expertise within the department to assure that we can get service delivery to the people. But the funds is lying with someone else. And that's not really helping us. So, Minister, please, if you can take this up, Chair, and I think as a committee, we have discussed it numerous times that it's not helping us discussing. We have COCTA here. We invited COCTA to a meeting. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And another thing that is hampering us is when we want to act, if this department wants to act, we must first speak to the provincial legislature, the NEC, because that fund lies with the provinces. It's not helping us. We need to short circuit this, see how we can get those funds within this department and utilize our own personnel and make sure that we can, if we put in bulk infrastructure at the same time, we will get reticulation. Chairperson, in money being, we're spending 300 million rand. It's going to be more than that eventually. Putting more water, building, expanding the purification plant. The mere fact is that will be completed next year. There's still no planning to get the waters to the community. There's pipelines that need to be built that must go to Letlhabile where we need the water. The reservoirs are there, but the pipeline can only take the water it receives now. Additional water, they must build a new pipeline. So come next year, July, When that plant is completed, still no planning, no EIA, building an additional pipeline. So it's exactly the same. We get our bulk infrastructure in line, but there's no reticulation or there's no assistance of getting pipelines, getting water to communities so that it could be reticulated there. Thank you, Chair.
Mr.
Sultan,
Mr.
Gunn,
Mr.
Sultan,
No, thank you very much, Chair. The authorities will have to talk to us about the High Court case. But you are sitting next to the CFO. I would definitely want Chair, with your respect, Chair, to do that. You know, when you deal with issues of internal control and supply chain, you have to hear the CFO talking to the and therefore I really want to put this directly to the CFO that you must talk to us about the system. Because if your supply chain chair in that particular area of operation has fell up. But if you look at the, if you follow the report and issues that caught with the regulatory, and I agree with you, authority on the issues that they've just raised. But sometimes we'll have to assess those that are responsible under you. What is it that they're doing, which is adding to the police to make sure that they're and you must not share, you must be with someone who is under them, at the highest level, who happens to be the CFO of the NGO. I want to really to hear what systems are you putting in place, what is your response, if you can, to the issues that are raised by the NGO. I've now come back to what the DDG has just responded to regard to the authority. The acting board, the authority, they say that there is a task team in place that deals with issues of our non-commission. There are no operation that deals with them. The information that you get from the acting DDG is that they are proceeding with the appointment of the board of so what is the role of the trustee? Because the process is similar to the process of a malformation due to the issues that are raised by investors. They have not come back to Parliament to say Parliament that we have now decided. So the last time we are amalgamating. We have not come back to Parliament and said now we're going to leave the court. And then we are going to proceed with appointing the two boards separately. And this is what I'm hearing, unless I'm hearing wrong. Now, Chairperson, point that I raised by Honorable Son Chair with regard to the budget and the payment of debt, and those are subject to the process that we are starting tomorrow. Believe very strongly that we do not want to subject the department again at this level to deal with issues of reserve bank and what they are owing and whom are they paying. Because all those processes are matters that tomorrow, jointly ourselves and the SCOPA are going to be dealing with the terms of reference for the inquiry that we're going to deal with. We now know that's factual that there are problems. Not only that, Chair, if we have to deal with issues of payments that are being made on a day-to-day currency by this department, it's something that requires some serious thinking. I don't want to deal with that now, Chair. But for me, what is very important is to have understood the authority of this entity. Because at the end of the day, Chair, you know, whatever that we do, that oversight authority will have to be the board. It has to be in place. And you are then relieved to go and do what you must do best and make sure that I think because of your moving now having to focus being an authority, it has its own implications. And the implications are the ones that you now found that the supply chain still the debt collapsing that is very honest. The KPMG Auditor General AG cannot say that and I know that, Minister, you may want to know this point. If there's any other entity of this department that is audited by the KPMG, agent attention is required. Because we can't have a situation, Minister, that through now the Auditor General, and we'll be pushing this thing, Minister, it comes from the committee, by the chair there, that the Auditor General must audit entities of the department. It's because of identifying the problem. KPMG's findings are being challenged, honestly, by those who don't know. And therefore, what is the position of the AG, having identified that, in fact, the manner in which the KPMG deals with issues of audit in government, but specifically in our department, are being low issues concerned? If we still use them in any of the entities, shall we need to get that clarity? If so, with immediate effect, in fact, we must encourage the AG to move into that space and take control. Because the finding that the AG has done with the interdisciplinary chair goes back to almost 6 years back when there was a regular expenditure and the KPMG could not pick it up. It's a serious concern that requires
resource intervention by the Auditor General, by the department. So those are just my points. I think this can do the issue of the high court, because you remember, for the matter that I'm not sure if you want those, because you wanted to have some kind of a discussion in committee with the portfolio committee. I know we may not have that time now. Maybe you may want to take the minister with confidence on those issues, and then the minister can then brief us at a particular level the way we can interact with the minister and get all of those details at that level. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I was also having a question on your regular expenditure. But I'm well covered by the interim chief executive when he responded to this kind of an anomaly. And I'm also impressed, Honorable Chair, by the steps the entity is taking, more especially around the question of approaching the High Court in Pietermaritzburg for the perpetrators to lose their pensions, so that the money goes back into the coffers of the state, because that is people's money. But Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, it must not end there. The perpetrators must also be blacklisted, so that they are not employable in our public sector. That is when these people will take government seriously, so that in future no one will think of stealing the taxpayers' money in this country. Thank you, Chair.
That takes me again to the policy issue. I take a very keen interest, Minister Tichy, this question about the restraint of trade is not being raised for the first time. And the unfortunate part is that it always gets avoided. What Mr. Gallo is raising about blacklisting, it comes very close to the same policy of restraint of trade. You are out of a job today, which you were in the previous day. You shall have wronged, or you shall have resigned. Whatever reason, what happens to the next day? Are you a free agent who can simply just continue in that same space or in that same work area and it's business as usual? You can trade, you can do business. What is the policy? 3 years is typically in other institutions. 5 years after the job, only then that you begin to do work in that space or in that same job you were in. I think this will clarify a number of issues that come close to the point raised by Mr. Gallo about the restraint of trade. After a certain period of time, you cannot do business either in that space or in that area of work. And this should be an issue that applies to all the entities, not just the department, not just the water board. You need to have that policy if it is not there. If you can comment on that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair,
thank you. This matter, I was looking at this matter when I was reading the act. In 3 years, the rule in terms of the law that after then there's this called that then goes serious implications. Secondly, during the discussion, sometimes when we discuss the matters that relate to labor relations, you get a very strong views that you need to bring back people who would have been expelled, say, perhaps 2 years ago or so on, previously. You have to bring them back. Do you have that negotiation? And those negotiations are, they speak to this matter as well in a different way. Because you have to navigate through those things and then say, how do you deal with a matter like that? Somebody applying for a job again in the institution. The law says this, but you also might be faced with and fear that you bring somebody back, and when somebody is back, other people start serious implications in terms of the morale of people working in the institution, and also what kind of precedent is setting. So it's a bit of a complex matter. Maybe, Chair, that you then say that there needs to be policy, because when you develop policy on these matters, you have to look at all angles. And because once you have the policy, in terms of answering those unanswered questions, which are persistent, especially when you deal with labor unions. But I therefore thank you, Chair, for pushing this view that there should be policy development. It was said in the law. Thank you, Chair.
Any further? Response?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The two things that were raised by my principal was related to the issue of the court case. I would like to accept your offered suggestion that the matter be taken back to the minister, because as the minister said in his assertion that he met with the chairpersons and the CEs of the board last Friday, and an opportunity would be created for one-on-one where we deal with peculiar, specific issues with institutions, where to appraise her and also to get the wisdom in terms of taking some of the matters forward. The issue that is in the High Court, actually now it's in the Supreme Court of Appeal, the matter, it has been removed from the Peter Maritzburg High Court. Is in the Supreme Court of Appeal now, and I would plead to be given an opportunity to brief the minister in detail on this matter, so that he comes back to the portfolio committee to deal with the matter. Secondly, Chairperson, I'm in no way speaking on behalf of my DDG for regulation, acting DDG for regulation, but I have a view that, Chair, the issue of the merger and the two conflicting statements about the task team working on the merger, the issue of the appointment of the board of Mungeni, the issue of the board of Mhlathulwe, I think that can be addressed as a basket in the 30-day grace period requested by the minister, so that no further confusion is given on this matter. Because it has got a knock-on effect on the other by implication of the conclusion on the other. So I would please, Chair, that we submit to the minister again what the assertions were, what the process was in dealing with the issue, its implication to the establishment of the board or board, whatever the case may be, and when he tabled the matters, we would have demystified all those matters and would be moving as a collective on how we're proceeding on this matter without reading one having to cancel the other as it were. That is my humble submission, Chairperson. There is a request by Honorable Chauke that he would like to hear an assertion on the intention to arrest the collapsing internal control environment in the institution from the CFO, who is the custodian of FCM processes and finances. I think I understood it that way. If you may allow me to just ask you for that minute to give that assurance in terms of where we are, how we are moving forward. Notwithstanding, Chairperson, just before she makes the submission, notwithstanding that the internal control environment in question, in as far as this report and the AG finding, has everything to do with their assertion on the prior year irregularities and what happened in the past. Perhaps if people didn't go away because they sit with us, they could give an assurance in terms of the internal control environment that has been put in place now, so that there is no occurrence of such matters that I even did not know in the past, but they made me to know them, and we then dealt with some of those issues as it were. Let me allow them, Chair, through you, this acting CFO, to deal with the matter that Honorable Chauke raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I'd like to explain the root cause of all the problems that we encountered at Mutual Water. First of which was the capability within the FCM staff that we had. So the organization has started dealing with this issue. Firstly, there were quite a few key positions that were that had individuals who were not well qualified and experienced to be in those positions. I think in July 2017, we appointed a new FCM manager who is now well qualified and experienced to handle this department. Also, the position of CFO was vacated in December last year, and the water board is in the process of appointing a new CFO as we speak, which is why I'm acting currently. There was also a position of contract specialist which was vacant, which is now we're in the process of filling. We've had interviews and we'll be finalizing in the next few days. So the new contract specialist will be dealing with one of our internal control weaknesses which we've found out, which includes reviewing and verifying that our contract management processes are in place. It also includes the tender processes to ensure that the advertisements have been made according to our SDM policies. It includes ensuring that all contract information are captured into our electronic contract management system, which we'll find out that it was incomplete previously. This will also ensure that the risk that we have of paying amounts that are greater than the contract value is taken away. The other matter that we have put in place is to ensure that we have performance contracts with all our FCM staff, which we are currently closely monitored by the FCM manager, but also with the acting CFO overseeing the process. We have in control in place where the manager reviews all address before they go out, verifying that the period that will be advertised for is what is within our SM process, ensuring that it's advertised on the correct portals as we are required to, and also the SM manager reviews our tenders before they go to our bid committees to ensure that the validity is still in place. And when before awarding, we ensure that everything that needs to be in place according to policy is there. For example, that the tax affairs are in place, the GISTB grading is correct for that tender price, and all the registration documents are there. The CFO, the acting CFO that we have currently and that will be appointing in the future will ensure that they are hands-on in managing the SCM risks that we have, which will include activities including reviewing of all SCM reports, tender registers, contract registers, and reviewing the register of irregular expenditure, which we are now keeping tabs on. Of course, everything that was reported by the Auditor General and that was disclosed in the annual financial statements of 2016-2017, the register is now being reviewed to ensure that all the investigations are taken and to ensure that all the application for condemnation is submitted to the relevant authorities, majority of which being our national treasurer. What we have also enhanced was consequence management on the staff that has been found to neglect their duties, some of which having resulted in some staff exiting the employment of the organization. Others relating to final warnings being issued and close monitoring thereof. What I'll also share is that we've had a workshop to train and retrain some of our SCM staff to ensure that they are aware of what is required from them and the duties that they need to perform in this position and the risk that they put the organization under. Part of our audit recovery plan is to ensure that these training and on-the-job training happens regularly as and when is necessary. There is one that happened in December, and we are planning on a few more coming up. In closing, I just want to also state that we've just had an audit by the internal auditors, which came and audited Abota 1 and Abota 2. Part of that was also to audit our controls, especially within SCM. In the report that was submitted by internal auditors, we have been given assurance that the current processes have been being taken within the internal controls that we've put in place. So the internal control environment has improved dramatically in the past 9 months. So we are welcoming the Auditor General in the next few weeks to come and test these assertions. But as Mr. Tuzawata, we are confident that our internal controls have been improved in the financial year.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment on the issue of KPMG. I would rather caution us that we tread a bit carefully on that one. Given the development that has been taking place and the circumstances that have been unfolded, there are other audit firms, I must say, that that have also been found wanting along the same lines as your in the KPMG. To understand that if we want to take an interest, I think we should really go a different route. That would be my appeal. And perhaps with the assistance from the Auditor General team that are involved in the field on a daily basis. Events have been unfolding. I have taken a notice that there has been some developments that have led to some quietness on the part of whatever has been happening in the audit firm called the KPMG. It can be a bit of a sensitive area, I must submit. Hence the point of the caution that I would really, you know, be pleading with members. If dealing with any audit firm and dealing with any audit can be a big issue if the details are not attended to in any of those matters that are being raised. So the issue lest we find ourselves compromising the integrity of any specific body firm. They are in business in their own right. They find themselves in situations where they are here or there. But as time goes, you get to hear more of such. Whether you really want to paint them with one brush, they are all black, they are all pink. It gets to be a bit of an issue. I just thought that let me make that comment, notwithstanding all the issues raised by members, that, you know, this firm, indeed, there was a whole lot of talk about them at some point last year. But the issues have since, if you like, died down. And some government departments and some municipalities, for that matter, they have since taken them out of their own panel for auditing their own books. But the situation seemingly, you know, with other, I repeat myself, other audit firms finding themselves in similar circumstances like KPMG has raised more questions than answers. So that's a sensitivity I would really want us to deal with insofar as matters are concerned. Mr. Charles, I'm not a human.
I hear you very well, Chair. I really agree. Your diplomat is trying to address the problem that the ATS identified. Now, if these matters are put before the committee must comment, the politicians must comment. And our comment will be a result to whoever takes it out of the TV. The fact is that here is the audit firm that has been auditing an entity of this department for more than 6 years. Hardly 1 year, the AG discovered the regular expenditures that were not picked up by this particular audit firm, independent audit firm, right? I'm not telling you that credibility, but I'm warning the department to be very careful of using such firms that could, because we have to deal with the regular expenditure at the end of the day. We must make sure that you go and deal with that, give us a report, and recover that money. This is what DFNA is saying. So the point that you are making here, which I agree with you, we must be very careful, matters have died down. The fact is that the department must be one of such findings. That using them moving forward. That's the point. You have made a very good point, Chair, last year, when you emphasize and insist that all entities of the department must be audited by the system. You are leaving that chat. You are in front of making sure that this thing happens. So when we identify the problem that has led to us taking that position, we cannot be worried, Chair. The fact is that the department must really move away from using private companies. I know it's business, but it cannot be business at the expense of public money. It can't. So that's the point that you're making, Chair. And with respect to that, we want the department moving forward to make sure that all entities of the space where we're doing oversight to go and say, why don't they deliver? In fact, the AG, when he does put his chair, what he does is that they disappoint the very temporary time. But then they wait, then their final work then gets approved by Dr. General. So at the end of the day, that the AG has that responsibility to make sure that the small private firms, or big they may be, have, you know, adhere to standards that are set by the Dr. General. So at the end of the day, when we go over that, you know, next year we don't want, hence we emphasize the point that let the supply chain CFO talk to us. Because next year comes, next year we don't want to be doing with regular expenditure and food less and wasteful expenditure or public money. I think, you know, by now we know what the president and the ANC resolution on food less and wasteful expenditure, and I will speak on behalf of the fact that I represent. That those days are gone, Chair, that we have to sit and deal with the regular expenditure and food less expenditure. Have one to emphasize, action must be taken. And if you have an audit firm that turn a blind eye on corruption and mismanagement, definitely you are going to raise our concerns. So I agree with you, Chair, and I really support the stand that we've taken, that let the public auditor general audit all the entities of our department.
Mr.
Okay, listen, I'm partly covered, but I think I want to emphasize on the caution that you are giving. And in fact, Honourable Chaucy, if I understand correctly, each firm I was working for was the General. So it could be that at the same water board, KPMG or whoever is doing it on behalf of the AG, but then the AG will audit that or will go through that and that becomes their report. So they gave us the indication previously they can't do all the entities and they use all these firms, so I would appreciate that we can caution.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Basson and Mr. Chaucy. I guess what we are saying here, all of us, is that where there is any wrongdoing, even if that is to be done by KPMG, it must be uncovered, it must be challenged, it must be corrected. Mine was more of a generic nature, given all the hullabaloo in the past year about KPMG necessarily. That we have heard also of other law firms, audit firms, that have gone through the same direction that the audit firm concerned has been going through. I must also mention that with all the credits that we have been collecting as this committee, this one has really been one of those that we really have to insist upon that the entities must be audited by the Office of the Auditor General. I think it is progress. you know, we are patting ourselves now at the back as a committee. It would also be interesting to learn more, DG, of any other entities within the department that are still audited privately. So that we are able to do justice to what we want to do. It may not be for now. Okay, if there are any other questions, comments, from members? We seem to have covered a great deal of work.
No, I'm saying the last few boards that were chaired before the committee, there was this wonderful word that was used. You have done well, you have done well. And I see us very informal today. Why are we not saying anything about much as good as that? They said they have done well. This was the challenge, but they have done well. I think we need to appreciate that too. You know? Because I said last week that before I can arrive at that myself, we have to probe all of this issue. But I think at the end of the day, Chair, that Mr. Duzi of Danway, I know the good to tell them. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe one last comment from where I am seated, Minister, is still the same question I would have been raising last week or before last, going forward, about the role of a water board. I'm making mention of, you know, the different visions and the different missions that should have been listening. But more importantly, the role of a water board insofar as the construction unit of the department is concerned. So that, in my view, yes, your private sector has a role to play towards enhancing our infrastructure concerns, especially on water. But you have here a scenario wherein you can save money. You have here a scenario wherein you have your construction unit with all what it has insofar as the capacity is concerned, simply lying there redundant. As we speak now, perhaps that could be a discussion for later. When the union says we demand bonuses even for those that are not working at all at 10 million Dam. Those are sub-members of your concession unit. Now, you have there your staff that is doing literally nothing at 10 million Dam. But so much money is spent literally every month. Again, the role of your water board juxtaposed with your existence of your construction unit is very fundamental. All what you want to do is to avoid privatization of any work expected to be done. And have here your construction unit being put in place and do what is expected of it. Work and improve and build new infrastructure of water and sanitation contract. Now that's an issue that I really take a keen interest in. I assume and I take it that speak on behalf of all members here. It has been a matter that has been raised, not one, not five, not five. In fact, to a point where we even had to bring them to Parliament to get a sense as to what is it that they are doing. And unfortunately, we could draw a bit little out of that exercise. Precisely because it is business as usual. Directives. If there is nothing else, members? Mr. Bassan?
Thank you, Chair, for opening the door there, but I want to plead with the Minister. Minister, please have a look at the Canadian there. There's 53 people, could be a little bit less, staying there, not working, costing the department $2.5 million a month. That could have been changed a few this way or that way. Minister, I really think that site establishment's been done there. The department has spent 150 odd million already on site establishment there. Get the construction unit back. The equipment is still standing there. It's just bringing the people back, giving the contract, go on, next, revisit maybe the pricing of it, and get them back on track to do the work at the MEA. I think it's important and it's one of the big projects. And if you can't fund it internally, then look at external funding via DCTA to complete that project.
Okay.
No, that's fine, it's acceptable.
No, you know the issue that we must do change. Last year we arrived at the point of now beginning to get information in construction units. And in the last minute, the department that withdrew the submission that was made.
Let's go back to that step again. Let's have a session where the department will come and present the construction industry. Let's have that again. Last year, you remember, it was for the B27, even the director responsible for construction was there, and the report was in front. If you can resolve the issue of construction in the chair, you will not have the problem that the department is going to do. But I don't know how to take that to decide now. We're still going to do the problem because of our supply. But let's have that session in chair, and we need to talk to you.
In the absence of any further comments or questions, I take it that we are done. Minister Sarah to
I'm not really raising any debate, but I just want to remind honorable members that I said we started the institutional transformation project. The reason I want a very change system is meant to actually do that. That's why we started that. We want to make sure that every institution or component in the city department or an entity that is we know exactly what it's doing, how it needs to us. In other words, the systemic and institutional transformation has started. Thank you. So I would request honorable members not to jump and say next week bring this thing. Thank you very much.
So we still have to go to the office. The president is not going to his office yet. So we must still allow him time to go to his office and do
this thing. No, that's fine. So that should be it. We were expected to deal with the petition for next week. Next week is the 21st is on a Wednesday, which is our normal committee day. We obviously have been raising a few other issues in the past few days, which have since gave life to a need for us to put those ahead of what we typically would have had before. I want us to allow the management of the committee to sit and begin to reach our account. We have until the 27th of March before we go on recess. We are having next week and week after. It could be our last time. And then we'll come back again in May with the budget for today. Immediately we come back. I think they start on the 5th of May until somewhat the first week of June. That is now your budget for today. We're not too sure as to when exactly are we expected to have our budget shall be fine. So how the program looks like.
Next Wednesday is Human Rights Day. We want something on Wednesday. Are we setting on Tuesday?
Okay.
Make sure.
Okay. Mr. Chalke, think the last.
No, I'm fine, sir. I think the management is important. There's a division that is true on the public. Maybe we can deal with it in that mission of the university. Because in it,
well, as Maria is busy looking for his response to a letter that I discussed through to his office. He has written back
respond in a nutshell says the House Chair is interested in the correspondence received today that is then and requests us to bring to the attention of the Chairperson to Johnson that the matter was dealt with in the Committee of Chairperson meeting. That took place on the 7th of March. That is the day when we were still meeting the committee that ran until 4-3, if you remember. So that I could not attend. So that's what we have. That's all.
But the issue is not addressing the point of the committee. It is not. It's not addressing the issue. Now, the reason that the committee is here is to invite Mr. Frodi to come before the committee and address this issue that they put before him. If Parliament can invite Mr. Frodi and Mr. Frodi cannot come, then there's a problem. Because I'm saying that either we take this matter to the management committee, repurpose it again, but we're addressing a fundamental issue that got to do with our day-to-day work. And he happens to be the chair of chairs in Parliament. So the committee is resolved to invite him to come and bring the committee on the concern. It's not addressing the concern in the people.
Let me put it this way, Minister, DG, what about the meeting? Insofar as our matters are concerned, we are done. We have our own internals that we have to deal with. And once again, thank you for the time. Of course, you cannot. You cannot praise the team. You know that it's human.
Okay.
And to help them. So, your time and your listening. Thanks once again, Minister and the team. We shall have to do our own little housekeeping. Until we meet as and when, we shall have to. Reprioritized, that shall be accordingly communicated. Thanks.